Behind every interesting person is a great story. This is Person of Interest with Natalie Jones.
All right, guys, what's going on? Welcome back. Person of Interest with Natalie Jones. This week is super dope. I am Natalie Jones, and our guest today is Chase Crawford. Fun fact, I'm releasing this date, the original release date, on his 24th birthday. Now, he's a native to the Cincinnati area, and he is a filmmaker, producer, actor, former model, creative, podcaster, influencer, father, husband, son, all of the above. And today's his 24th birthday. He's experienced so much success already. His wife, they were actually, fun fact, pregnant teenagers. Then they got married. They have two kids together now. She's a stay-at-home mom, and he does everything else. He's a super rad guy. We met and immediately connected through some nonprofits we were both involved in around town. And I just wanted to know more about his story. Who do you know is a pregnant teenager and then says, I'm still going to become an actor and make movies and make this happen? And Chase has done that, all while being based in Cincinnati. He's never relocated. A really awesome story, an awesome guy. Please welcome, everybody, my friend, Chase Crawford.
I can't do anything about it. It's so much bigger than me.
It seems like you mastered the balance.
A little bit, some might say.
Well, you are Chase Crawford. You have two kids.
Two kids, yeah.
And you're only going to be 24?
Yeah, going to be 24, this
month. You are 24. Wow, crazy, crazy. Okay, can I say, like, by the time I was 24, I think I had even graduated, I graduated college at 24. And had, I mean, I was bartending and all these other things. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I was so far away from the world. Mm-hmm. And ready to tackle it, though. I had a lot of ambition, but, like, not, I mean, trajectory of life. You're one of those people that, as you just said, you obviously have a heart of gold, and you're an artist who just likes to express. And I think it's really cool. What I love seeing in people is when you do that from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I'm not going to toot my own horn, but
you
thank you
just
for that.
Did,
yeah,
thank like, you. From the beginning.
I mean, like, look, the thing is... So, like, in filmmaking, it's obviously so hard, and it used to be not accessible to many people, right? Mm-hmm. Cameras, even 20 years ago, just to make a movie, make a low-budget movie, it would have cost $100,000, whereas now these cinema-level cameras are $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, which is still a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot more affordable for someone, you know, who doesn't come from a ton of money. Like, I grew up in Monroe. I was raised by my mom, who was a teacher. Yeah. So I'm like definitely not the picture perfect, like.
Yeah, no. So there was no dad in your life?
So my parents divorced when I was 5. And my dad, he's been involved in my life the entire time. But we've never lived in the same city. So it was always weekend trips and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have a sister. She lives in North Dakota, which is like the coolest, most random thing that I get to tell people. It's funny, the other day we were talking on the phone, I'm like, could you send me a picture of your license? I'm just so curious of what it looks like. It's like one of those things where it's like, is it even real? Like, I need to see this.
Like Fargo.
Yeah. And she's doing exactly what she wants to do in life, which makes me happy. Like, it just makes me happy seeing people do exactly what they want to do in life.
Me too. It really brings tears to my eyes. I'm such a sucker for it. Like, when people die and stuff, I get sad. But when people are really living their passion is when I, like, oh, it steals my heart.
Yeah.
Is your sister older or younger than you?
She's younger. She's a couple years younger than me. I think she's 21. I think that would make sense.
Gosh, it's so crazy. So did you feel like growing up that you had to protect her and that you were kind of like a fix? Do you guys have the same dad?
Yeah, same dad. Yeah, no, it was, growing up was weird because it was like sometimes we would just like roughhouse. I mm-hmm. think like she was almost like tough. She was tough. She's tougher than, you know, other girls.
Yeah.
But then it's like other times it would be like you hear someone talking shit about your sister. And it's like, yo, that's my sister, dude. Like,
yeah.
Chill.
Back up.
But it's like, yeah, I have that protective instinct and I really don't talk to I just don't talk to many people more than once a week. So it's like when I do get to talk to her, it's always a little more special because she's always catching me up on just like all the goofy stuff in her life.
So you are a man of the arts. You are an actor, filmmaker, producer, and model. And what you former podcaster, creative influencer, dad, husband, brother, son, Ohio native. And you never left Ohio.
Never. Well, I was born in North Carolina, but
New Bern. I love New Bern. Yes. I used to live in the Outer Banks.
Yes. Okay. I think did we talk about that before?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. Probably. We always see each other in passing.
Yeah. So New Bern. Yeah. New Bern's a wonderful place. I want to take my family there so they can know what good seafood tastes like because that's the spot. But I lived in Cincinnati, went to Monroe High School from K through 12. And I've just been doing my thing here. Obviously, now it's a little bit like I think last year I was on the road probably 150-ish days. So it's like, the place is here, the crib's here, but I'm always
based
everywhere.
Out of
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just trying to follow the dream, and that takes me to some crazy places.
Yeah, and so you never relocated, and your wife and your daughters are here. You have two daughters. Mm-hmm. Is it Cambria and Carter?
It's Cambria and Carter, yes. Very, Cambria's a unique name, right?
It is, so yes. Is it Cambria or Cambria?
Cambria.
Cambria, yes. Okay.
So it's always confusing because there's like a house company, I think, called Cambria, and it's like what's in people's minds from
the
start.
Maybe that's where I got it from.
But I love those girls. They're so awesome.
How old are they?
Cambria turns 5 in April, and Carter is 6 months old.
5, so you had her when you were 19.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me just say, that doesn't sound like someone who's going to follow their dream of being an actor or a model when they are pregnant at 19. So.
Yeah, it was intense. It was intense. And God love my wife. She's awesome. And didn't really, obviously, it felt like 8 Mile at times where I was like, I promise, baby, I'm going to make movies and we're going to get out of here. she never once was a skeptic. She always kind of knew that I had a plan going in my mind, like a weird master plan. But it all worked out.
Well, it seems like, I mean, you do. It's dope. Like, as you say, you love when you see people living their passion. Like, I love when I see people who just know what they want. I, like, have danced around it, and I've tried so many different things. And to me, it's, like, not wasted time. But it's so refreshing. Like, man, what is that like? So you started off from, how did you even get into acting and producing and all of the things? Directing
that's a good question.
Well?
Yeah, I'm directing some stuff now as well. So it really all started, I was like 15 years old. I was making YouTube videos with my friends in the basement, just like after school, like messing around and really got like all of the bad shit out of the way then when I was just like messing around, like didn't know what good lighting
was. 10,000 hours?
Yeah, exactly. Didn't know what good audio was, like didn't really care. I was just making stuff and having fun. And then as I started to take it more seriously, I started to learn like, oh, these are techniques that they use and this is why they use them. And now I understand this concept and this concept. And then I was 17 and Taco Bell had called me to write and direct a commercial for a new product they
had. That's nuts.
It sounds not real. But
I know. What was the product?
It was the Fiery Doritos Locos Taco.
Whoa! Yeah. Yes! Was that you? Hold on. I remember the commercial when the taco like slammed into the screen and flames went.
Yeah.
That was you?
Yeah. So
awesome. I never had one. That shit's gross, but good to know that.
Yeah, it probably
you
gave
made
a lot of people diarrhea. but yeah, I got to do that, and that was a big accomplishment. It still is a big accomplishment for me, but at the time, I don't think I realized how big it was because I was just like, oh, this is the natural progression of things, right? Yeah. Like, it has to go this way. But then, like, looking back, you realize it doesn't go that way for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the Taco Bell thing the week before I went to start my senior year of high school,
awesome.
And it kind of just, like, propelled things in motion a lot faster than I think I could control or handle, and I ended up graduating high school semester early.
Cool.
So then focused full time on video production stuff.
Wow.
That second semester where most of my peers were in high school. I had gotten into some great colleges for film.
Mm-hmm.
The timeline's all a blur, but pretty much my girlfriend got pregnant and I was like, yo, I gotta stick this one out. Yeah. Gotta stick this one out, dog. Gotta man down the fort and take care of this.
No, I think it's pretty cool. Like, I think it's pretty cool. Like, looking at a pregnant teenager, I would think it's a fight or flight situation. And
totally, there's like obviously a million universes that people get first. They get to watch first-hand encounters on, like, Teen Mom of, like, these dudes just, like, straight dipping out of the picture as soon as that happens. Yeah. And, I just don't think it was – I don't think it's in me at all just to abandon that situation, especially the way that I was raised. I just want different for my kids, or at least I wanted to try, right? Like, that was the biggest thing to me is, like, even if it wouldn't have worked out, like, at least I knew that I tried, but – it's going great. Happier than ever.
Yeah.
She's awesome. This is her first year being a stay-at-home mom, which is a big deal for her. Yeah. And it makes me happy because she's doing exactly what she wants. Like, she loves just spending time with the babies and making sure that their every needs are tended to.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, so, like, this must be a pretty cool week for you then, because you recently had a baby. Your wife is now at home, so your life is getting pretty dope. And this is not your first feature-length film coming out that you've produced, but it's which number is it?
So I have produced two films. I've executive produced two films, and I've been a supervising producer for a film, and then I produced a streaming series. So... a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to keep track of, but this is the second film I've produced.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it's making its Cincinnati debut.
Yes.
At Bogarts.
Yes.
Moon Dance. Now, I think I can remember this. It is a musical, a classic Hollywood musical comedy, and also a guerrilla documentary all into one. Can you please explain that to me a little bit?
So it's kind of like The Truman Show.
You're watching
a movie about a movie.
Okay.
You're watching this zany director take this terrible Hollywood love film and just start to torment his actors and make the film his own.
Oh my gosh. Did that come from like real experience? How was this? Who wrote it?
So the writer and director and star of the film is named Cooper Flanagan.
Uh-huh.
And Cooper is definitely a character in real life. Mm-hmm. So to this day, I have no idea what's real and not real. For all I know, this could have happened in his real life. but to my knowledge, it hasn't.
Okay, so let's go back to, like, so you make this commercial, and then, like, you have kids and everything, so you decide, like, I'm doing this forever. And then you do a little bit of acting and modeling, and then you get in producing. Like, where do you find your feet? Where are you the happiest?
So for me, modeling has definitely sailed its ship for me, I think.
Yeah, wait, weren't you in Times Square?
Yeah, I did.
That's pretty cool.
I did a Times Square campaign for H&M. And that, it was awesome. I'm never going to complain about something where I made money from because it's like, what's the point
exactly.
of doing that?
Yep.
But modeling is not for me,
mm-hmm.
At all. Mostly because I love food.
Yeah.
Like it's food is the best and I hate working out. So it's like modeling is really not for me.
Yeah. And you live in Cincinnati. So
I live in Cincinnati.
A food and drink town.
We have the best of the best.
We do.
Do I need to campaign you to
no, please do it a little more, please.
acting. I still probably take on, like I still have representation for acting and I've done like 15 or 20 films. So it's like, at that point, I'm kind of like pretty far in to just like peace out.
Yeah.
And I still get like, I think last year. So I changed to offer only, which means like I don't audition for things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But last year I still got like three offers it was like horror films, faith-based films, like typical stuff where they're just trying to like beef up with people who have social media followings. And and I kind of like fit this like nice little niche of acting experience with some followers, and they kind of like playing that game.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing one of the three that was offered, and it had Dean Cain in it from Super. He was Superman in the 90s. I know. This is.
I remember. Yeah.
This is its whole like industry, though. These faith-based films with like these 90s stars and beef them up with these social media people. It's
awesome.
It's like a little cottage industry, I'm sure. So I did that, and Let's see. I did a pilot last year, but that's really it. Mostly really neck deep in producing.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so
what... And then directing stuff. That's more... Like, I directed my first commercial since the Taco Bell thing. I did a spot for... It's called Midwest Sports. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be on, like, ESPN and Tennis Channel and
stuff.
That's
awesome. Okay, yeah. So for people who don't know, what's the difference between directing and producing? Personally,
okay, cool.
I didn't know the difference until somebody told me, now you're a producer of this. And I literally Googled what the word meant and was like, all right, I have to do this now. Let's see how this goes.
So I would probably consider, like, the producer as being, like, the CEO kind of a company. Like, okay. Overseeing, like, it's... Like, kind of managing the vision. So, like, you're managing the director and reeling him in on some things and managing the logistics, finding the people to execute the vision, mm-hmm. Really, like, tying up the whole thing legally. So, like, location releases, image releases, like, how are we going to shut down this main street? Who do I need to talk to about this? Like, where are we going to find money if we run out? Like, okay. All of these things are things that I kind of handle in producing. Whereas, like, directing is, like, you really are... 100% involved in the art side and 0% involved in the financial side.
Gotcha.
So the fun thing about directing is I can come up with these huge elaborate ideas and they're like, we don't have money to do all of them.
Yeah.
Just pick like three. And then it's like, okay, cool. And then I just show up and have fun. Whereas like producing, like you show up and like you're like, you can feel your hairline receding and it's, you have like, just like stress sweat all
day. Wow, now I know. I never actually really knew all of that. Well, to me, which one do you like more?
Oh, directing is like so easy.
It seems like
it's and not to like downplay it as a career field. If you're good at knowing how to tell a good story, which is a skill in itself, is like being able to be a good director. But if you're able to do it, like I would do that 100%. More than producing. I love producing though, because producing is also a skill. You have to be very good with your people skills, mm-hmm. And a lot of opportunities arise out of helping other people like share their vision, share their story. You can't always be the person in charge, but I think anyone would love to be like the person in charge if they could be.
Yes, like, that sounds amazing. Or just in charge of your own life all the time. Do you work with Film Cincinnati?
No, I haven't done, so the way that Film Cincinnati works, to the best of my knowledge, is if you qualify for the tax incentive, then they'll like work more directly with you as far as trying to help things. But the first film I produced, we shot it here and we shot it for like under $50,000. So like small, like I totally get it. Small potatoes, like they have to run their business. Like we ended up having everything that we needed anyway. So that's that. Moondance, we had enough money, but we ended up shooting it in Michigan, which is where the film was like written around. So it was better to shoot it there anyways, just because like the director, he wrote it to these very specific locations.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
We can't replicate that here in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see. The I was a executive producer on a film. It was a documentary in Haiti. So like,
did you go to Haiti?
No, I actually didn't.
Yeah,
I want to. I'm going actually to Palestine in May to do a documentary, which I'm excited about.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, so how does this work? You're working in the movie business, mm-hmm. based out of Cincinnati. Like, I really did not even know this existed. Then I started to learn more about you and was like, what? Okay, I need to know more. So now are you pretty like, are there a lot of people working remotely now because you can?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be in LA to make movies anymore. That's like part of...
No, isn't it like no movies even shot in LA anymore? Nobody shoots in LA.
Yeah. More than half of the movies that get theatrical releases are shot somewhere other than LA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like Atlanta's huge right now.
Yeah.
New Orleans was huge before that. I mean, I'd probably, if I had to guess, I'd say that the second largest city for film is Atlanta. But I mean, LA is really good with the studios for shooting like television shows, mm-hmm. just because the sets are all there and there's tons of the footwork's already established, the groundwork rather. But yeah, I mean, with the cinema level cameras becoming so much more affordable, I mean, every college having a film school, you pretty much can round up a crew. You can we mostly cast stuff out of like Chicago, just because they have a pretty good talent pool.
Do you ever have trouble being a producer or an executive producer being taken seriously because you're so young? And you've already done so much in the industry already, and you're turning 24.
Yeah, I mean, those are all good points. I'm gonna say I don't think I've really struggled with the respect thing recently. After I think in the beginning it's hard.
Yeah.
In the beginning for me was 3 years ago when I had done zero films and had nothing anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think now when I come into a room, my resume is I have 2 projects on streaming platforms.
Yeah.
And I have a film that is releasing theatrically, so it's like, If you can look at that and still have doubts about whether I can do the job or not, like, I probably shouldn't be working on it. Because, like, it's a living resume, film is. Like, you can go through Bruce Willis's resume and watch every single job that he's ever done, right?
It's not
like, it's so much different than other jobs where it's like you just put it on paper and like, okay, cool, I guess they did that job for 2 years. But it's like you can actually see like 6 months of someone's work.
Well, so now you have so many, you have Moondance is coming out, but you have more film in post-production as well. How many more, like how many are you typically working on all the time?
At one time, I like to have 3 to 4 kind of on my plate, just because that's really, for me, I found that's the best number, because you always either have something about to shoot, about to come out, or about to like release to the world, right? So that's always exciting for me. And then keeping the pipeline going, like I said, I have the documentary in Palestine coming up, and then doing a film in Indiana in July. So that's like 2 more, and
it's awesome. Yes.
2 are releasing. So it's like, it's just keeping the funnel going and alive, and, staying working and finding good scripts, and developing those and finding good people that want to be attached to them. It's
cool. I worked in documentary for like 5 or 6 years, maybe 6. I was still technically employed with the festival when I moved here. Were you hired for this one that you're shooting in Palestine? Were you hired to produce it?
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Okay. And can you tell us about anything about it?
Not really. Yeah, no, I don't want my picture hanging up everywhere at the airport. I know.
Well, but, good luck with coronavirus.
I know. But, I mean, we're going out there, I'm really looking forward to it. We're just shooting stories and just hoping to get other people's stories out there to the world.
Hey.
Yeah. All so right. I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, we're gonna be all over like Israel and just really looking.
Ooh, that's awesome. I'm gonna guess it's about motorcyclists going all over Israel, and that sounds really fire.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
Awesome. So like, how do you see the rest of, I mean, do you live your life, like, do you like setting goals wise? Do you want to continue to do this forever as someone who has worked in many different avenues of, creative performance of entertaining or whatnot, you know, like how do you, like, you want to raise your girls here?
Yeah, no, I definitely, man, that's a tough question. Cause I think it's a question that even I don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
I mean, like, ultimately, I'd love to make my own ideas into films, which is something I haven't got to do yet, because I think that I have the creative muscle to tell a good story. And I think wherever supports that the best, whether it be here, whether it be LA, whether it be wherever, I think that everyone can be happy with it. And
where do you think you got that from? Like, the... like wanting to tell a story, you know?
Oh man, I think that it's just like the YouTube skit days, like realizing how fun it was to like come up with these dumb skits and just shoot them with my friends.
Yeah.
And then like those dumb skits, like it's like Jonah Hill was writing Superbad when he was 13, right? It's like finding those ideas and really just like working them out. And what I appreciate now about what I've done is I've got to see the behind the scenes and make a lot of other people's films.
Yeah.
And I've walked away with every film knowing what I would do differently on my own project.
Oh, great.
So it's like you're kind of getting like this invaluable experience of like, oh yeah, they did that. I probably wouldn't have done that. And yeah. Or like, oh, I like that shot. That shot could go great with this scene that I want to do. And then you don't have to think about what setup would look best and all of that stuff.
Well, you seem to stay very aware and yeah. like very in tune as you're doing all of this stuff. Have you experienced any of the negative aspects of this industry and what?
I mean, like besides being broke for like the past.
Forever.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. The past like 3 years of my life, just like being. I mean, like the past, I'd say 12 to 18 months have been the best months of my life. But I mean, I'm also haven't lived that long of a life compared to yeah. other people. So I understand that it like that me saying that might not mean a lot to people. But yeah, I mean, being a broke teen dad, that kind of sucked. And now being able to like actually pay my bills with film stuff is pretty nice. And it feels like it's. To me, it's felt like the real deal ever since I could pay my bills, but now it feels like a realer deal now that there's like realer bills that I have to pay.
Yes.
And it's like,
but money, my problems, that's how it goes, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But yeah, I just am really fortunate and I'm just so lucky. It's awesome.
Well, so you've worked with like James Franco.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I want to ask you because as a woman who finds him to be my favorite Hollywood person ever, mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says about him. I think he is a wonderful weirdo. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just bizarre and very smart and mm-hmm. just takes risks and just does whatever he wants. And yeah. I think it's awesome and lives out loud. How is he? Is he this magical mind that I have invented? I mean, in my brain, of
yeah.
his? How is he?
I didn't really get to hang out. Like, it wasn't like a conversation like this where you just have like his sole attention, but anytime I interacted with him, I mean, he just had like the common artistic courtesy. Like, he treats other artists with respect and you know, realizes he was once there, right? Like mm-hmm. either struggling or just now getting it to work. So I think he kind of sees that and has a lot of respect. And I think that he's one of the people in Hollywood who understands that there's not much value in being a dick to random people. Like
yeah.
you might as well just have a conversation with them about their small town or about their mom who loves this film. Cause like what's it going to hurt to have that second of interaction, with that person?
Is there someone that you've learned? Who would you say you've learned the most from? In your years, 5 years being active in this industry?
I think that I've extracted a little bit along the way from like everyone I've got to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that there's like one person in specific who I've learned more than I think I've gone into every conversation, every job, everything and learned a little bit about a lot of it along the way.
Did you have a mentor at all?
Yeah, I have a couple of mentors. Brian Hartsock, who lives here in Cincinnati, is one of them, and he made his own independent film. Mm-hmm. He's made two independent films. He's doing a lot of great stuff as far as commercials. I had the opportunity to produce a short film with him, which actually won a ton of awards, and I'm very proud of. And my daughter's actually in that.
Really? What is that?
It's called Looking Back.
Okay.
And it won like Best of Fest. It was like we made it for this road reel competition. We won like I think it was like $30,000 worth of prizes.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so it was pretty
awesome.
I mean, but that was just like a bunch of our friends getting together. It felt like
yeah.
YouTube. That's what I'm saying. That's why I want to make my own stories, because like, you can get together with your friends and it's like, oh man, we got the gang back together.
Yeah.
But like now we have all of these years of experience of telling stories and working on films.
Yeah.
So where it looks good now.
Yeah.
Right? It's not
you
just
really
like,
know what you're doing.
Yeah. It's not like bad YouTube skits. It's like we know what we're doing.
Well, that's
like,
super. That's super, super cool.
Yeah.
And when you can share that process, not very many people can do that with their friends and
no,
like really
I mean,
share that process. Like that's a pretty special thing.
Yeah. And I like that's really why I want to make my own scripts and like make my own story. Like I just have so many fun ideas. One of them is actually inspired by my time working in like low budget films called Low Budget Movie, the Movie.
Nice.
And it's like a very Lonely Island style
yeah.
like mockumentary about these guys that are going to take the world by storm, making their low budget movie.
Yeah.
And they have Corey Feldman coming to be in the movie. And like, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, there's people out there who there are filmmakers who actually think that that's going to be their big break. And then they're going to be making Iron Man. Like you're going to blink and they're going to be directing Iron Man. It's just like, I want to capture the delusion that I've experienced from a lot of people.
I can say I've experienced that as well. I did live in LA and was on the grind, you know, for less than a year, you know, moved back or whatever. And if anything, it made me feel more confident in my just ability as a human.
Yeah.
Like being around so many quite delusional psychopaths on a day in and day out basis. And when you're working, quote unquote, working amongst them, you're like, oh my God, I got this. I like know like the sky from my ass. Like there's so many so many delusions going on.
Well, and I mean like it's frustrating. I'm sure you see it too when you see people like that that transfer that persona over to social media. I am working on a project. They're like vague booking. I am working on the biggest project of my life right now. This will win me my Oscar.
Yes.
And if it doesn't, then the Academy is blind. And it's like this guy who's made like one short film. And I'm like, oh, brother.
Oh, I know. Like, well, how would you feel like, so it's changing so much, the social media in general. So now there's a blending going on of filmmaking and social media. The blending is increasing. It's like its potency in that every day. So in your 4 years of being in it, how have you seen it change?
Oh, I mean, the thing with filmmaking is you always have to go in with like a marketing strategy. And I think even if you look at Moondance, a huge part of our marketing strategy and a huge part of where our ad spend is going is with Facebook events and attaching the trailer to that Facebook event. So that you can push it to people who live in that area. The trailer's already in that post, and from that post they can click whether they would want to see the movie or
not. Is that your first film that you've done that with?
No, I mean, Alan, which was my first film, we did a lot of boosting of posts, but it was more like just boosting the trailer, trying to get a bigger fan base, because the film was made for a niche audience. Whereas Moondance has kind of the legs to obtain a wider audience, more or less. I mean, people who are interested in musicals, which are, you know, a lot of me personally. And that's the funny thing. Like,
you like musicals?
No, I don't.
Okay.
That's the thing. Like, I never saw Footloose, never saw Grease. Like,
what?
Never saw any of these classics.
Oh my gosh. Never. And you just made, produced a musical?
Exactly. But I think that that's kind of almost
that's
what
an
adds
edge
to it.
To
exactly.
Have. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I go
sure.
in, I don't go in with all these preconceived notions of, oh, we have to do a choreographed scene like this. It's like, I get to make up all these rules in my head.
You don't
head.
Have to fight on yourself at all. Yeah. I must say there is, don't you think as a creative, there is a lot of advantage to that, going into something totally blind.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And just trusting your blind instincts.
Yeah, well, it's because like at the end of the day, I know that I can get dancers in a location. But if I go in without the idea of like, oh, we need a crane to do this shot, it's like, no, we can do it with a drone.
Well, like, so like, how, speak to other creatives in the Ohio Valley area. You can do all of this in Ohio.
Oh yeah.
Or here, like it's accessible. Like we were just fangirling over the city of Cincinnati in general, and like, and you found a lot of talent here as well, dancers, actors.
Yeah, I mean, we shot it in Kalamazoo, so that kind of limited.
I love Kalamazoo.
Yeah, it's a fun little city. So I mean, that kind of like limited the number of people directly from Cincinnati that were involved. I think that there were still like 10 people involved from Cincinnati, but I mean, I am very confident that I could have made the same movie here. Just there's such a great talent pool. There's so many talented people coming from the area in general. Just it's like the, like you said, it's the 100-year plan of like, okay, arts wave invested in the arts in the 90s so that all of these 90s kids like me would grow up with great arts so that we could make art that could 100 years from now stand the test of time.
Yeah.
And I think that that's part of their bigger plan. So maybe, you know, I have a new mindset on the streetcar now, and that's because of you.
It's okay. We're still paying for it, though. Well, like, I think, you know, there's some realizations. Like, if you ever, like, lose, like, there are always going to be people creating streetcars. There are always going to be people creating movies and music or whatnot, you know? And I think that what's changed, or would you agree with me on this, that now you can do it from anywhere.
Oh, of course.
And it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, like, and that's like, I was like one of the lucky ones too. And this is like a cool story maybe for you too. Like 21 Pilots.
Yeah, they're from Columbus, right?
They're from Columbus. My stepmom actually worked with Tyler at the church. That was like his first ever job in music.
Really?
Yeah. And it's been cool to see them. And that really, like, I think lit the fire under my butt that, like, literally anyone from anywhere can do anything. Yeah. Like, it was so inspiring to me to see them go from this guy who's playing a church band to winning a Grammy in 5 years.
Isn't that nuts?
That it's insane. So, I mean, like, yeah, you can make movies here. Like, it's literally the same size crew, the same cameras, the same lenses. Mm-hmm. There's just not all of the fluff. I mean, sometimes there is if you get some names involved or you want to do some of that. But shooting in LA is probably 4 to 5 times more expensive as shooting here because it's like, I know that I can hit up every bowling alley in town and one will agree to let me shoot there overnight for some affordable price. Whereas like LA, they're like, oh yeah, you want to film here? Like, they know that filming's big business out there. Yeah. So everyone's going to try to get theirs when they can.
Yeah.
Whereas
definitely.
Here it still has that allure and it's still like cool to have something filmed at your place.
Yeah. Dude, like there was, when I lived in LA, there was like this, I nannied for these people who were writers and lawyers for NBC Universal, and like in their neighborhood, for instance, there are at least 5 houses having films being made in them every day. And they're like, well, you make $30,000 a weekend. Yeah. So why not? And you're like, oh my God, this is a life I know nothing about. Dear Lord.
I know. It's so crazy. And even these Lifetime movies have like $500,000 budgets.
Yeah.
And
most of them are Lifetime movies.
It's wild.
Yes.
It's so crazy. And it just reminds me that like, every time I make another movie, I'm like, I could be making a Lifetime movie. Like, that's like the like saving grace of some of the stuff. Yeah. But then the saving grace of the other stuff is like, oh, I could be making a Lifetime. Like, who knows? One day my life could just be like, I'm making some Hallmark movies today.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, like kids' tuition's coming up. They're going on spring break.
Exactly.
You're getting divorced, you know? It's an easy paycheck. Yeah. Not that that would ever be your life. But you know what I mean?
Jesus.
Like, what is your main inspiration? I would say a lot of artists and performers perform from a place of like torment. It's how they get their pain out or they need to be heard or they really want to have a Grammy or be on the cover of Vogue, you know? Mm. Did you ever have a big dream like that?
Huh. I think that like that's such a good question. I think that like just my root in all of this is I kind of just like said I like left with a dream and like I'm not coming back until I like get it done. And I don't know what that is yet. Like right now it's just like another like step of
a dream.
Process. Yeah, exactly. My dream and like it's you can't be like, oh yeah, I'm not leaving until I have a Hollywood star, because you could like work in film for 50 years and never get that. Like you could work in film for 50 years and make up my Oscar, my Hollywood star, my whatever is just making things that people can watch after I'm gone and laugh at, right?
Yeah.
And still be like, oh my gosh, like that was such a good film.
Is laughter your main thing? What is that? Okay, so you've done a lot. So you've produced like 10 films. You've acted in like 18. These are your official IMDb parameters.
The official numbers, yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's go down the list. So I did Wildfire, which is an anthology series, which is different. It's like American Horror Story. It's different like genres and different actors and stuff.
Okay.
The Clearing is a like slow burner thriller, like a horror film. The Crayon is dark comedy, which is really why I wanted to be involved. But then I did the documentary. I've done a faith-based. Moondance is like a musical.
Faith-based? So, was that a God film?
Yeah. Alan and the Fullness of Time. That was the first film I did.
Mm.
Yeah, that was my entryway into the film.
Are kids
going to
be watching
business.
This in religion class all over forever?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not one of those films. It's definitely, I think, a really close attempt at something that could be a good, like, faith-based crossover film. Like,
ooh,
there's
yeah.
some really good, like it's like a faith-based thriller. So I think that there's some really well-done, like, thriller aspects of it. I'm just, like, sometimes you watch projects. I'm very like honest with myself whenever I like something or I don't like something, or I think something did well. I think that that film is really good and it has its spot. I just don't think that people know where that spot fits in yet with everything out there on the market.
Well, like I was just, I mean, I was kidding when I said about the religion class, but really when you say faith-based, that's what I think of.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
There's actually a film I'm really looking forward to coming out called Faith-Based. It's a really funny concept. It's about these guys making a faith-based movie to get rich. They're like, these Christians will buy anything. It has Jason Alexander from Seinfeld in it. And it looks awesome. And
awesome.
I can't wait to see it. Yeah.
It's like the Book of Mormon kind.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the Book of Mormon. Okay. Awesome. Okay, we're continuing to go down the list.
I love it.
Let's do some more here.
I think the coolest thing about me is I've touched a lot of genres. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I think every script that I've written is comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I have three scripts right now, which I'm very excited about. I've been working with two other collaborators on them. And like we're gung-ho. Like we have our writer's retreat scheduled. We're going to finish these scripts. We're going to put dates on the calendar. Like we're going to call in favors. We're going to make our movies, right? Like we're going to like give it the shot because that's like I think that there's something fun about just working in the industry, but there's something really, really fun about getting to like tell the stories that came into your mind. And if they're good, then that's even better.
All right. Can you walk us through that process a little bit?
Yeah. Of writing a script.
Of having ideas come into your brain.
Yeah.
And then turning them into something that people can ingest.
Yeah. So, I mean, low budget movie, the movie is obviously probably like the easiest one to understand how it came about. I was working on these movies that have a $50,000 budget, which isn't a ton of money to make a film. And you're just dealing with long days and like inexperienced labor and like bad food and
living conditions are rough.
Mediocre acting. Like it's, but it all adds up. In the big picture is this really, really funny image, right?
Yeah.
Especially if captured from the outside.
Yeah.
Normal people watching it would be like, why are these people doing this to themselves?
Yeah.
I love to... Have you seen Windy City Heat?
No.
It's a very, like, off-the-wall comedy from the early 2000s. But it's a look inside... these two guys play a prank on their friend to lead him to believe that he's the lead actor in this movie.
Oh my gosh.
And they get all of these like celebrity cameos. Like Dane Cook acts like he's the casting director.
Uh-huh.
And like it's just the film itself captures what low budget the movie could be.
Okay.
Where you're just like really honing in on these specific comedies that people can, you know, people know when they watch a bad movie.
So you come up with this idea in your head.
Okay.
And then you're like, I want to make this. Do you see the end goal? And then you're like, I'm going to make this. So is there like a ritual? Do you call someone? Do you go on a jog? Do you talk to your wife?
So for me right now, I kind of like, what I do is I try to write 100 jokes around the concept.
Wow, that's a really great methodology.
Yeah,
see,
well, because if you watch that, this is one of the things that I've extracted from working on other films, is I thought some scenes could have been funnier.
Yeah.
And what you have to do is you have to like write the scenes and then write every joke that could live in that world. And then you have to like kind of connect the dots on those jokes. It's what it's what makes movies like School of Rock so funny.
Okay.
They're like 60 gut punchers in that movie. And if you have people laughing every minute or every other minute in your film, they're going to walk out and be like, that was a good film. I loved that. I laughed and it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I come up with ideas. Like the other night when I saw you at the Cyclones game, I came up with an idea to make a movie about a minor league hockey mascot. Like what's the life of that like, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like writing all of these jokes like, like he started off as like the badass mascot and now he's like the pig, right?
Yeah.
like it's just like yes, exactly. Like he went from being like the F5 twister tough guy and now he's Puck Chop and people are throwing these styrofoam hockey. Like there's just so many jokes that live in that world.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you have to make sure that there's enough and that they can translate well to screen.
Because
obviously I think that that's where you see a lot of comedies miss is like, yeah, us joking about Puck Chop was hilarious there.
Yeah.
But if it can't translate to screen, then it's not a good joke because it might be a good joke, but just like spoken because some things just don't transfer well in film.
Okay. So then you create a bunch of, you write a bunch of jokes about mm-hmm. it, and then what do you do?
And so then I try to map them out together.
Okay.
And I'm doing all of this while I'm already kind of mapping out the story in my head. Like, we want to find like a beginning and the end. And like, I'm not really even sold on like the traditional story arc of, of like, oh, it needs to be the hero's journey.
Do you write this down?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like, I'm like, okay, the minor league hockey mascot, what happens to him in the end? Does he become the emergency goalie in a game? Like, is this some miraculous story of a hero? Or is he like, kill this player who stole his spot on the team and now he's, is it like, what kind of story is this going to be?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to like map out these like key timeline things. So if he makes the team, then it's like this like begrudgingly slow sports hero movie. But you can write a bunch of jokes around that. But if he kills the guy, then that's kind of, that could kind of be funny if it's like, or like a, it could be a random twist at the end. It could be a funny comedy movie the whole time.
Yeah.
Like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then at the end, like four people get killed. And then you're just like, what happened in that last 10 minutes? So I kind of try to map all of that out. And then I bring it to the two writers that I work with. Their names are Grant and Tommy. And I bring all these ideas to them. And then we kind of punch them up together and kind of develop the characters a little more and kind of find what those intricacies are going to be like of each person and like how they would tell the joke and what we're looking for and like who we know that would do. Because like at this point, it's really cool because I've done so many films that actors know that I can make a film, so I can really get some decently known actors to do these parts in the films because, one, they know that I know how to do it, and two, they know that it's going to get shown somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest thing with independent film is most people are like, oh, yeah, like, good luck. You're going to shoot this film, and then it's going to go where it's like, well, my last film went theatrically, and all my other projects are on streaming platforms, so it's making money. You're going to make money. We're all going to do great. We just have to like trust the process.
Yeah.
So yeah, then I kind of try to shop it around like that. These first couple, I already know that I want to make like with my own money. So I'm not like having to deal with the possibility of like a studio EP, like coming and tumbling on my dreams or vision or goal. Like I really want to be hyper controlling of the art that is made. But yeah, so I mean, that's that right now. I think the end goal with that would be something similar to what Jonah Hill has with his studio deal, where he just kind of like shows up and writes some stuff and then like makes a good, funny film every year and calls it a day.
Weird. Is your brain always active in that mind space, or do you do things to get it?
See, I mean, that's the thing. Like, obviously, I wouldn't have thought about the idea of the mascot movie if my mind wasn't active at the hockey game about what movie could be made in this world of minor league hockey. It's so dumb and stupid, and it's like half of these guys are never going to make it to the NHL. Like, they're, like, living out this, like, and I guess the same thing could be said about me, but it's, like, this pipe dream, and they're living in Cincinnati, which probably none of them are from here.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have, what's the audience of these games? Like, what is, just, like, taking this world, right? And there's a lot of comedy. Life is just comedy, right?
Yes.
There's just something that I think that there's something that could be funny in every scenario of life, just depending on how you...
I agree. And I feel like you have to be around certain people. Like I make really bad jokes all the time. Well, I think they're hilarious and they are, but they just flop in the situation of where you are.
You have a comedian's mind though. So you're always thinking of the funny intricacies of every scenario.
Yeah,
as well.
Nothing's sacred in my world. You can make fun of everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's like, it's just like finding, and it's where a lot of great movies have come from. Like Dodgeball, like a bunch of guys sat in a room and they're like, it would be funny if people took dodgeball seriously. Right?
Yeah.
And then they made a movie about it.
Yeah.
So it's like it translates well to screen. And I think that the stories that I want to tell are hopefully going to do that.
Well, so what about Moondance? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Moondance is, we already kind of talked about the synopsis of the story, but we shot it in Kalamazoo in 2018. It's coming to theaters. It's going to be in theaters, not everywhere, but most places, March 13th. We're having a world premiere here March 12th at Bogart's. But we're in 18 cities, so New York, LA, Chicago, and a bunch of smaller other cities.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's I'm pretty proud of the project, and everyone who was involved in it worked really hard. So
cool.
Hopefully the world likes it, and you know, if not, if not, then they don't.
Then you just make another one.
Yeah,
if people
exactly.
like that one. That's
exactly.
the beauty of it. Dude, Chase, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course.
It's so nice to get to know you more.
Yes, it was
and,
awesome.
Congratulations on all of your success, and keep the dream going. You are someone I like. You're giving me faith to, like, just keep going.
You give me faith.
Just keep going.
You give me faith on stylistic choices. Like, the outfits are on point
thanks.
At all times.
Thanks.
Yep.